Attack is renewed on Frank Juror. The Atlanta Constitution. Saturday, the 13th of September, 1913. Page 3, Column 4. Citizens declare that Hensley has not been in town since trial's close, renewing their attack upon Juror A.H. Hensley, one of the 12 men who convicted Leo M. Frank of the murder of Mary Fagan. The attorneys for the defense Monday obtained affidavits from J.J. Nunnally and W.L. Ricker of Monroe Gay, in which the two men reiterated their charges' bias and prejudice against Hensley and replied to his statement that he uttered his denunciation of Frank after and not before the trial. Nunnally and Ricker asserted in their second affidavit that, so far as they knew, Hensley had not been in Monroe since the trial of Frank, and that, therefore, they could not have overheard him in his violent outbreak since the verdict was returned. They swore that, to the best of their recollection, Hensley's bitter attack on Frank and the declaration of his belief in Frank's guilt took place sometime in June. They said they had noticed in the public prints Hensley's admission that he had made denunciatory remarks against Frank, but they all had been uttered after the evidence was in and the verdict returned. This, they swore, was false, as they had not seen Hensley since the trial. Characters sworn too. Affidavits also have been obtained from other leading citizens of Monroe, testifying to the standing and character of Nunnally and Ricker. Without exception, they assert that these men are entirely reliable and trustworthy and of good character. Among those who signed the character affidavits were R.C. Knight, former ordinary of the county, L.G. Nowell, solicitor of the City Court of Monroe, J.B. Shelnut, clerk of the City Court, and Alonzo C. Stone, judge of the City Court. Hensley is standing by his original declaration that he gave no expression of belief in Frank's guilt before the trial. He admits having made the remarks, but insists that they were made after the jury had been discharged from duty. He has been in conference with Solicitor Dorsey, and it is anticipated that a determined fight will be made to establish his fairness and lack of prejudice in the consideration of the evidence. Dorsey back at work. The solicitor and his assistant, A.E. Stevens, resumed hard work on Monday on their answer to the 115 reasons for a new trial submitted by the attorneys for the defense. Dorsey believes that the convicted man is not entitled to a new trial and is preparing himself thoroughly to fight every move of Frank's lawyers. The hearing of the motion will take place next Saturday before Judge L.S. Roan, unless the solicitor asks for a further delay. In view of the vast amount of work entailed, it is not at all improbable that more time will be requested.